Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. This here is the Royal Club Wrestling Podcast. Yours truly, I go by the franchise, better known as the Podcast Tribal Chief, better known as One and Done. And this right here is part one of two parts. Y'all know how originally we would do our recap shows. We always kind of split it up because there always seems to be a lot of stuff that goes on after these shows. And there's a lot that happened. A lot that happened within these past 72 hours, give or take, recording this on Wednesday. So, as y'all heard, those were the words of Michael Cole. Cody Rhodes has suffered a true American nightmare tonight. This, like I told y'all, is my WrestleMania recap show. The ace that runs the place, unfortunately, is not here. Hopefully, he will be doing his recap show. But I want to give y'all my thoughts on Mania. This is probably going to be, I want to say ideally, a quick recap. But it's probably not. But let's jump right into it, y'all. Let's get into it. WrestleMania, the two-night event this past weekend. For the first time ever, I can't pick a match of the night. I can't even pick a moment of the night. Because to me, this was one of the best WrestleManias in recent history. Now, everybody's going to point to, like, the WrestleMania 3. My personal opinion, WrestleMania 17, hands down, was the greatest WrestleMania I've ever seen. Not saying that this one is up to those standards, but it was a good card. It was a solid show from top to bottom, honestly, with maybe the exception of maybe one or two matches that was just, like, they weren't bad, you know, to me. They weren't bad, but they just were, they were there. They were fillers, you know, in my opinion, but they did what they were supposed to do. I mean, highlights though, things that stood out to me, one of the best entrances of all times was Seth freaking Rollins. Just the man just elevates his game, WrestleMania, every year. There is actually a take that I want to give y'all, not on this episode, but I do want to talk about Seth Rollins because in a near future episode, because a lot of people have a lot to say about him. You know, there is going to be some things that will be said on this episode that kind of will allude to what I mean by Seth Rollins. But man, let's WrestleMania, other than the Seth Rollins entrance, was record-breaking. You know, we WrestleMania broke records. I will get into that a little bit later, but more things that I will that I liked about the show, just standouts. The Fatal 4-Way, the men's showcase Fatal 4-Way was arguably, it was a surprise for me. I didn't think that it was going to hold up. But it sure as hell did hold up. And I mean, the Street Profits, I was surprised that they won this. Not going to hold you. I thought Ricochet and Braun Strowman, because of that odd couple pairing. And just, they've been on a roll lately. So I thought that they were going to be the ones to win it. But Street Profits came up winning. Apparently now this was in a sense that they were going to get a tag team title opportunity. They got in on that the Monday after Mania, and we've seen what happened. the Bianca Belair Asuka match. It did good. It wasn't, in my opinion, better than the SmackDown Women's Championship match between Charlotte and Rhea, which I will get into later. The main events for both nights stole the show. Rey Mysterio versus Dominic was incredible. Dom coming out people were throwing the idea of Dominic coming out to Eddie Guerrero's theme music. That didn't happen. Rey Mysterio came out with that. But Dominic coming out with this, with the prison guards with him, as if he just spent time in jail before coming in here. It would have been nice if they did that. If Dominic would have did something prior to Mania that caused him to get arrested, that would have made more sense to have Dominic in, like, with that. That would have made more logical sense rather than him having this entrance as if he just did time and now he's coming back. I would have rather see something happen. Like, Hall of Fame, the Hall of Fame induction ceremony that took place on Friday. If we would have seen something backstage, a WWE.com exclusive, a YouTube exclusive, and Dominic attacked Rey, or Dominic did something to his mom or his sister that caused him to get arrested, and now everybody's unsure what's going to happen. Are they going to even have a match? And then we see the Dominic entrance. That would have made more sense. Other than that, that was a good match. They did tease, obviously, if you watched Mania and then you watched Raw, you did see the tease of what will possibly happen at a WrestleMania Backlash. We all know it's going to be possibly, maybe even the main event. Bad Bunny and Damian Priest versus, or Bad Bunny and Rey Mysterio versus Damian Priest and Dominic Mysterio. We've seen that Priest attack, Priest did attack Bad Bunny once, a good friend of his. And you could tell even when Damian was attacking Bad Bunny that he was kind of like, yo, why are you putting me in this position? Like, you should have never did this. You should have just stayed away from this problem. Speaking of Judgment Day, Edge versus Finn Balor, the return of the demon. Y'all know how I was so anticipating and so, like, I was so hyped for this match. And it would have been one of those matches. But unfortunately, during the match, you all seen it. Edge threw the ladder at Finn, which caused Finn to, you've seen the picture. If you didn't, viewer discretion is advised here. See that cut? You see that gash? Like, that's a mean gash. And they had to numb it and then staple his head during the match. Like, Edge was sitting there. Props to Edge for being quick to know what to do. Edge started doing all the stuff to distract, and the camera was not panned to what was happening to Finn, but they numbed his head up. They put staples in his head, a few staples to kind of like make it work or whatever. And he finished the match. He did finish the match. And I mean, I give him credit for doing that. Obviously, that's the Intercontinental match. In the words of Big E, the big meaty men slapping meat. That match, oh my God, by far the greatest Intercontinental match I've seen, bar none. I will put that up against the ladder match from WrestleMania 10 with Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon in a ladder match. Yes, this triple threat match surpassed, in my opinion, that match. I mean, I was surprised that Gunther retained. But this just goes to show you, man, Gunther he's different. He is different. It leaves me to really think what's going to happen with Sheamus. When is Sheamus going to capture this Intercontinental title? The one title that has not he has not captured. I do have a feeling I know when that's going to happen. The next few Premium Live events are scheduled to be overseas. So there's one that's happening in the UK. That's where I think he's going to capture it. I know everybody's going to be like, oh, well, he should have captured it at the Clash. He should have, but he didn't. And that's cool. I'm going to talk about the adversity in overcoming the obstacles a little later. Y'all will get it. Seth Rollins versus Logan Paul. I mean, what more can we say about this man, Logan Paul? I mean, I'm not a fan of his, but I do respect that he is very talented in the ring, and he put on. And Seth Rollins did his thing, as always. The six-woman match, it was okay. Lita needs not to wrestle. I'm sorry. I love Lita. Love Trish Moore. But Lita just needs to, you know, you could tell. I was talking to a friend. You could tell that Lita, when she retired, She didn't do nothing. She wasn't trying to do nothing. She wasn't trying to do no cardio, no activity, like physical activity. She just chilled. Trish was doing yoga still. She was, you know, still staying fit. And you could tell. You could easily tell. I do feel, though, as if we're going to see more of this dynamic trio. We may even see a possible heel turn. That's right. Don't be surprised. John Cena versus Austin Theory. That was the opener for night one. We all know that. Good opener. I did say in my notes when I was, you know, rewatching it, because when I first watch it, I don't really take notes for the show. But then when I rewatch it again, I kind of jot my notes down. And I've always felt like the John Cena versus Austin Theory was like a passing of the torch type of match. But obviously, Austin Theory prevailed as the man. So it's very interesting to see what they do from here. But you always got to respect Cena. But honestly, it didn't even look like Cena. It's like they asked Cena to do it. Cena was like, okay, I'll be there. Not really truly investing in it. And I said it even in the prediction show for Mania. We only got Cena one time. So we could tell that this was just like a, hey, Cena, we want you to do this job. And Cena's like, okay, cool. And left it at that. Like, normally Cena's like tanned up, ripped up, ready to go. This time he was just like, yeah, whatever. I'll do the solid, you know. And it's a solid for Austin Theory too, you know, because Theory is a fan of John Cena. He's been very outspoken about that as well. The opener for night two, obviously Brock Lesnar versus Omos. Y'all seen the Aces Prayer. It was a solid match, you know. Brock did his thing for selling to Omos. He did his thing. He sold very well for Omos. He made Omos look good in a losing effort. He did. That's what Brock does. If Brock's going to win, but he's going to make sure that if he's fighting someone that's a dominant, more dominant in physical stature, he's going to make sure that that person looks good. Now, the records. The records that were broken with this Mania match, or with this Mania card, shall we say. So, this was the most successful WrestleMania of all times, breaking tons of records. In the viewership realm, it was the largest audience in WrestleMania history. Gate, a record 21.6 plus with 161,892 in attendance. So that's a combination of night one and night two combined. Socials, they had the most social WrestleMania ever with 500 million plus views. sponsorship and revenue, a record 20 million plus, doubling the record that was set last year in 2022 in Dallas, and the merchandise sale, all-time record, up 20% versus the record from last year at in 2022. So overall, like I said, man, this was a very successful WrestleMania. It was a good WrestleMania. Like I said, I can't pick my matches of the night from night one, night two. I can't pick my moments. And even though y'all know my guy, he prevailed. He did. You know, we're going to get into that a little bit later. We're going to save that. Don't worry. We're going to save that. But speaking of the main events, Charlotte Flair versus Rhea for the SmackDown Women's title was in the talks of main eventing night one. However, we all know that, and I even said, the bigger story was the Usos versus Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. I always said that. I even said it in the prediction show. And everybody across the WWE universe all felt and said the exact same thing. Now, with all that being said, before I get into the meat of this matter, let's talk about how both these matches paired out against each other. So the Rhea Charlotte match probably was one of the best women's matches of all time. I hold that against Bayley versus Sasha at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn, which is by far, in my opinion, the greatest women's match ever. Don't even try to debate me. Try to take the Pepsi challenge with me. You'll fail. But this will probably be number two behind, and Bianca and Sasha from that Mania will be third. Originally, it was Sasha, Bayley, Sasha, Bianca, and I don't know whatever else. But now Charlotte, Rhea, number two, Bianca, Sasha, number three. And very ironic that they both, Charlotte and Sasha, both did something at the end of their match. Sasha's was not shot. Like, we didn't see it live at Mania. Someone actually happened to take their phone and record it and post it. And we all know what I'm talking about. It's that shot of Sasha outside up against the barricade, smiling. Like, you know, it's like an emotional smile. Like, she was kind of crying, but it was like a joyful cry. Like, she was happy. She was happy to see Bianca reach this moment. I mean, it made history. It was the first Mania with two black women main eventing for the Raw Women's title, I believe it was, or SmackDown Women's title. And she won. And we seen it again on Saturday night with Charlotte and Rhea. But we seen Charlotte. The camera intentionally went to Charlotte outside the ring. And you see it right here. Charlotte is smiling as if she's like, she's happy. She's proud of her. And she even did as much as putting out a tweet. She posted a tweet, and the tweet says the following. Thank you. And you see it right here. Thank you at WWE Universe. I may have lost, but I know in my heart the championship is in good hands. Proud of you at Rhea Ripley underscore WWE. Now, it's also been reported that Charlotte has requested some time off, as she should. I know a lot of people are going to be upset, like, yo, she just came back and now she's asking for time off. But people fail to realize Charlotte is in her like mid-30s now. And you're seeing a passing of the guard. We've said this in the past. Bianca and Rhea are the future of the women's division in the WWE. And the horsewomen now have to kind of begin to pass the baton to the new generation. Sasha's done it. Charlotte's done it. Bayley technically has done it, but I mean, she just did it for Bianca. We need Bayley to do it with someone that is of a Bayley personality or Bayley stature. Who can that be? I'm not sure yet. Becky, don't know who Becky can do it with, but we are seeing that. And then we have the tag team title match. The Usos defending their undisputed tag team titles against Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. By far the most emotionally invested match I've seen. I thought the Dominic and Rey Mysterio Jr. match was going to be emotionally invested. No. This was truly emotionally invested. I mean, it was so dramatic. And from like a cinematic presentation, it just looked amazing to see Sami Zayn in the corner looking at Jay and Kevin. You hear Kevin Owens saying, do it, pull the trigger. And he hits him with not one, not two, but three haluva kicks. And every time he did it, Jay just fell into his arms, and it was so symbolic. It's the little Easter eggs that the WWE does. That Easter egg. Remember when Sami Zayn turned on Kevin Owens and actually low blow Kevin, and Kevin fell into Sami's arms, and Sami just looked at him and presented him to Jay? We got the same thing with Sami with Jay. And to see the reaction from Kevin Owens when the ref counted three, and Kevin Owens just seemed so, it was like he was ecstatic. He couldn't believe it. The one thing, as I've said before, they said it in interviews, the one thing that Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens were not able to do on the main roster in WWE is win the tag team titles. That was the one thing that they wanted to do in their career in the WWE. Win these titles. And they did it. So, talking about the main events over WrestleMania weekend, Charlotte Flair was being interviewed by Ryan Satin, and he happened to bring up this conversation. He asked her about her thoughts about the main event for WrestleMania.
So I saw you talking about how women in WWE always have to fight for their spot. Does it frustrate you knowing that it's not a guarantee that you're gonna be the main event this weekend?
How do I word this politically correct? I understand that the best story should close the show. I understand that. But does the men's title and whoever wins the men's Royal Rumble, are they always guaranteed a main event spot? Are they always?
Almost always, yeah. 99.9.
So the women, last year, last minute, didn't happen. So now this year, toss up because of story or like what?
Story like versus what? Importance, basically.
Yeah. And then you could argue, you know, whoever closes, say it is the tag match. I'm a huge fan. I've known Sammy and Kevin since I started. That's how, like, I could not be bigger fans. But fighting for Rhea Charlotte, I just go, well, yeah, that story's been a year in the making. Well, this story's been 3 years. 3 years in the making.
No, I can understand. That's why I asked what your frustration level is, you know?
But it's not like, I get it. I get top stories. So it's just going, I look at it from like a fact standpoint instead of who deserves, because no one deserves it, like anything. Does that?
Yep.
No one deserves. I do not deserve the main event. I'm not saying, you know, that. I'm just saying if you look at it from a factual standpoint, whoever wins the men's Royal Rumble and they're always 99.9999999 the main event. So if we have two nights, is ours just like, how does that work?
So as you hear, Charlotte brings up some valid points. Now, I had to remember that her and Rhea's feud was 3 years in the making. Because I got to remember when Charlotte won the Royal Rumble that year, she challenged Rhea for the NXT title and won the NXT title. And ever since then, Rhea has always wanted her get back. But if they played into that, they slightly did, but not all the way. But if they played into that, you probably would have been able to potentially have an argument. The argument of the winner of the Women's Royal Rumble has a title opportunity to main event at WrestleMania. Yes, that is correct. Correct. But before we went to a two-night event, how was that getting done? How were they headlining the Mania? Because before they went to two-night, the triple threat for the Raw and SmackDown women's title, where Becky became Becky Two Belts, was the first time that women headlined WrestleMania. But other than that, what were they doing after that? You know, how were they telling these stories? I understand Charlotte's position. But I also understand Paul Levesque's position, Triple H, who spoke on this during his press conference of night number one.
Paul Jamakosandu for BT Sport. The Usos versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn main eventing night one. When did you make that decision, and what was that decision-making process like for you?
You know, it's all about what is the most impactful, right? And as the storylines played out heading into WrestleMania, to me is the most emotionally and storyline-driven match on the card, right? And I felt like that needed to be, I think we all felt like that needed to be in that spot. I've said this before when we've talked before about, you put the women in the main event. We didn't put the women in the main event. That's the spot, right? That is the storyline that was driving things to put them in that role. It's not about giving it to them because they're women. It's not about giving it to somebody. Like, never once did it factor for me. I don't know. People saying, well, tag team championships haven't been in that spot and history making. I didn't even know that, to be honest with you. It's about who talent or talent, nothing else to it. Talent or talent, and whatever storyline is resonating the most and has the most impact, that needs to be the story that's told, I think. And in this case, it was the Usos and Kevin and Sammy.
I mean, I agree. And Triple H is very known for, you know, making that happen, like going with what is best for business, but what exactly is going to be the, like I said, what is going to be the lasting impression? Yes, Rhea winning the title, the crowd erupted, the crowd loved that Rhea won the title. But to get on that emotional high, to be so invested and be so happy and literally be brought to tears at the sight of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn defeating the Usos. That's how you close out the show. Because the end of night two ended with and still.
Here is your winner, and still the undisputed WWE Universal Champion, Roman Reigns.
I want to let y'all know something right now. I might. Y'all so lucky. Y'all are. Let me tell y'all how lucky y'all are. Okay. Cause I'm gonna tell y'all exactly what I wanted to do. Okay. Y'all seen him. He appeared. He came back just to let y'all know what was up. But he's a little upset because we wanted a crown. We wanted a lay. Okay. We ordered a shirt. It didn't come in, okay? It didn't come in. But just let it be known, when he eclipsed 1,000, oh, yes, crown, lay, shirt, you name it. I might even just have confetti coming down. I'm going to have probably banners, probably a big-ass 1,000 behind me. You just don't know what to expect when he eclipses 1,000, which is going to be at King and Queen of the Ring in Saudi Arabia. So just throwing that out there. Now, a lot of y'all were looking like this fan right here. Look. Come on, man. Why? Is it that serious? Are we really that mad? Are we this mad? I mean, okay, so he probably won't mind that I'm going to divulge his information, but I am. The Ace told me that he was done with the WWE. Yep, you said that. You were done with the WWE. And primarily he was done with the WWE, y'all, because of me. Because of the video that y'all seen on Instagram. If y'all haven't followed yet, go make sure y'all go follow RCW_podcast. That video, as soon as that match was over, I got on and said, I told y'all, don't say shit to me. Matter of fact, right here. I mean, let me tell y'all, my boss, shout out to you, Bridget. She literally looked at me and said, you are going crazy over wrestling that's, you know, she started going through the whole thing about wrestling's not real and all this other stuff. And I was like, well, I mean, what you see in movies aren't real either. Like, they're not really punching each other in movies. So, same thing. You know, sue me. But a lot of people just seemed so upset with Cody Rhodes losing. And I actually want to read to you guys what the Ace exactly told me when he said he was done with WWE. And his reason behind it. Okay, because this is going to lead to the bigger story, the the story that I really want to get into, which is no one understands why Roman Reigns retained. No one understands the story that they're telling with Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. So let me run this by you real quick. He goes off and says, they really set it up like this was Cody's time, doing it for Dusty, all this for Cody to lose to Roman. And the way he lost to Roman with the help of Solo Sikoa, now maybe Cody wins down the line, but that ending for Mania was trash, in my opinion. And I'm like, Jey Uso was a sucker. This dude really abused you and your brother, and you trying to help him. Jimmy a sucker too, because he went from I ain't nobody's bitch to now being Roman's bitch. Woods said it best. Do what you guys do best and carry bags for Roman. I don't want to hear about them possibly splitting the titles or The Rock coming back. I will get to DJ later. Or trying to give Roman that 1,000 days or whatever. At this point, who knows? They're just going to ride Roman until the wheels fall off, I guess, but whatever. He is echoing the same sentiments I believe a lot of WWE fans in the universe feel. Now, let me explain to you guys why I said and I believed that Cody Rhodes was not winning this title at Mania. Now, had Cody not tore his pec, we probably would have got him beating Roman at Mania. And here's why. 9 out of 10, we probably would have got Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes at SummerSlam. You put adversity presented to Cody. You throw all these different things, these obstacles that he has to overcome and he has to get through. Because if y'all think about it, since Cody's come back, this is technically Cody Rhodes' first loss since coming back a year ago. He did a trilogy with Seth Rollins. He had a couple matches on Raw, and he's won them all. Came back, won the Royal Rumble, won his matches leading up to WrestleMania. There was no adversity there. And I know everybody wants to say, oh, well, he tore his pec. Like, that's adversity right there. Yes, that is. But that wasn't a part of the plan. That wasn't a part of the story that they were going to. Bully Ray also said it best. As Dave LaGreca, who is a Cody Rhodes mark, was going ballistic, he said it best. He said, I'm going to ask you one question, and I need you to answer this for me. And y'all can answer this for me too. What would Dusty do? How would Dusty book Cody versus Roman for the first time at WrestleMania? Cody will lose. His wife, Brandy. Brandy took to Twitter. And Brandy said the following. Hard times breed better men. Where did I hear this phrase from? Whoa, my father's dead. When I was younger, hard times breed better men. Y'all heard that, right? Let's play it again. I've always said since the beginning, since I first heard Cody's song, his theme music is literally his theme to his life. Don't believe me? Just listen to the intro. Wrestling has more than one royal family. You just heard it. I've always sat here and said that when Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes come together and they get into this ring, it is a more than the title. It is a family. It is going to be a family fight because you have Dusty Rhodes. You have the Rhodes family against the Ottawa, the Samoan bloodline, that family. And we all know how iconic these two families are. And this is what we have. Now, we have seen remakes. We've seen them in movies. We've seen remakes of songs. We've seen remakes of TV shows. NXT is remaking the Shawn Michaels story. One of his many stories throughout his career, but they're doing it with Roxanne Perez. Y'all remember she collapsed. Everybody thought it was for real. It wasn't. It was a part of a work. And if y'all remember, this goes back to when Shawn Michaels collapsed, when he fought Owen Hart, when Owen Hart hit him with the enziguri and he collapsed in the middle of the ring. We're getting a similar thing as far as recreating stories. And I credit the Podfather himself. I credit Don Tony for this. Since listening to their recap show, him and Kevin Castle, by the way, thank you that y'all two are back together. Not to say that the Don Tony show was bad, because it's not bad. I love the Don Tony show. But to hear Don Tony and Kevin Castle back together again, it's like Christmas for the podcast universe. It's for Christmas for the wrestling universe to see these two, as Don Tony said, just take a piece of the throne back. Just take a piece of it back. So congratulations. I'm glad to see y'all back. But Don Tony said this. Don Tony believes this storyline between the Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes is Dusty Rhodes versus Ric Flair in the Four Horsemen. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go. We have the WWE Network through Peacock for right now. Go look that up. Go on YouTube. Look up Dusty Rhodes versus Ric Flair and just look at that and look at the adversity that Dusty had to overcome before even getting that title from Ric Flair. That's what we're seeing with Cody now. Cody has to go through the adversity because when he gets that title, the one title that has eluded his family, the WWE heavyweight title, it's going to mean so much because you're invested in this story. We're invested in it. I know everybody's like, well, not Mania didn't win. We still have SummerSlam, which is their second biggest premium live event of the year. They could probably drag it off to the next WrestleMania. I don't think they will. I think that it may end at SummerSlam. And it would mean more than him winning at Mania off of one go. Y'all have to realize that. Y'all have to see that. So now what do you do? We've seen what happened on Raw. Brock Lesnar turned on him. You throw these adversities in there. And what better adversity, what better obstacle to go over than the beast himself, Brock Lesnar. Y'all seen how Brock Lesnar whooped his ass. He whooped his ass. It wasn't even funny. It wasn't. But not only were I and many other, well, not many other, but other wrestling fans was on the same page, two other people happen to be on the same page too. Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch, they both had their own opinion on Cody Rhodes headlining, main eventing night two of WrestleMania. And this happens to be what Seth had to say.
Cody Rhodes made some headlines a couple weeks ago saying that you guys almost got into a fist fight. I mean, what's the state of your relationship with Cody?
I can't get into too many details on that. There's a level of truth to that. But, I mean, look, the bottom line is I feel, based on my body of work and what I've contributed to this company over the course of the last decade, really, mm-hmm. I should be in that position, right? Mm-hmm. I'm the one who has held it down while he drifted off and went and did his own mm-hmm. thing. Respect to him for that. Great. He drifted off, did his own thing. I'm the one who held it down. When everybody got hurt or did something else or went off or took part-time schedules or wanted less and wanted to do less and ask for more or wanted to go somewhere else because they weren't happy. You don't think there's been plenty of times when I haven't been happy or plenty of times when I haven't felt like I've been on the short end of the stick? And there's tons of stories I could tell about that, but I don't. I keep it to myself. I put my head down. I work hard. I vouch for this company. I vouch for this place. And I feel like what he's getting is not, I'm just not entirely comfortable with it. And I don't know any other way to put it than that. Yeah. And I think that just creates some natural friction between the two of us. And so, you know, when tempers flare, you know how it goes sometimes. There's a little truth to that, but I can't get into too many details. But,
and I don't really want him. I just have to ask the question, you know what I'm saying?
There's some level of mutual respect there has to be in this industry, but at the same time, there's animosity as well.
Yeah, and I think honestly that the reason he's believable is because of the work you guys did since his return back to WWE.
It takes two to tango.
It does take two to tango, and you're one of the best at it, my brother.
Becky, what do you have to say about it?
One of the main events, Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes. What are your thoughts about that? What do you think is going to happen?
What do you mean? What are my thoughts on it?
What do you think is
on
what I want to know? Whatever thoughts you want to share. I mean, this is no mercy. I mean, give it to us straight. Whatever's authentic and real and straightforward, which is what you are known to be.
I think it's going to be a great match. I think Roman has had an incredible run. Mm-hmm. I think Cody is in his infancy in this run. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Mm-hmm. Cody has had a lot of history with my husband. Mm-hmm. The main event of WrestleMania. It's going to be big. I don't know that Cody's ready for it yet.
Mm. Says a lot.
I don't know that Cody's ready for it yet. Mm. I wonder if it should have been Seth Rollins in that spot. Mm. I wonder if he should have been walking out after everything he's done for the past several years, his whole career. Damn it, been carrying this company on his back. Mm. Cody walked away, came back, he's getting it all. Maybe that should have been Seth Rollins. Mm. Maybe they're my thoughts.
No.
I have, like I said earlier, a Seth Rollins episode where I'm going to dive a lot into what he said, what she had to say. There's another clip that I have to get of Roman and what Roman had to say about Seth. Cody alluded to the same thing, the same personal issues that him and Seth have. But I agree with Becky and I agree with Seth. This is why Cody didn't win, because Cody technically didn't go through. He didn't earn. Winning the Royal Rumble, coming in at number 30, cool. But you didn't do nothing. You haven't went through anything in storyline that can really make people really be like, yo, cool. I'm going to give y'all an example. You look at adversity. Look at what happened with Kofi Mania, which was a recreation of Daniel Bryan in the Yes Movement. And ironically enough, Kofi fought Daniel Bryan. We all remember that. Kofi Mania. But we remember the adversity that Kofi had to overcome. We seen and we were invested. I was invested. I remember having a whole part of Royal Club, one episode where I talked about the interview or the video that Big E did when Big E was like, yo, I don't even know if we want to continue to do this. In hindsight, we all know now that that was a work, but that's how invested we were. I thought that New Day was about to quit, that they were going to be done. They fooled me. But that's the adversity that you want to see from people chasing the title. Because then when they win the title, it's so much, it's better. You get emotional. I cried when Kofi won the title for various reasons. But just because he overcame all that. He was the first African-American to win the WWE title. Like, yes, you want to say The Rock, but The Rock says that he's Samoan, and that's his bloodline. His bloodline is Samoan, Dwayne. But we all know Kofi technically is the first African-American to win that title. So we gotta pay attention to that. We gotta remain focused on going through hard times. Hard times breed better men. Dusty said that to Cody. Dusty cut a promo, one of the best promos, top five. And I'm not talking three. Top five promos of all time. Dusty Rhodes, Hard Time. You don't know what that is? If you don't know what Dusty Rhodes' Hard Time promo is, shame on you. Go look it up on YouTube right now. Pause this. Open up another tab. Go to YouTube. Type in Dusty Rhodes' Hard Time. And I guarantee you, after you watch that promo, you will understand why Cody might cut a Hard Times promo himself. He might cut his own version of Hard Times. Don't be surprised if that happens, because you have Triple H creating this. As Triple H said in the press conference, he said that the one thing about the wrestling business is the book never ends. The chapters keep writing. This is just one chapter that's closed. We still got more stories to tell. Good hands. Good hands. Should play for the Bills. But Triple H is like, this is a never-ending story. It's a never-ending story. So we are going to see more. And when Cody beats Roman, it's going to mean more. It will. But you know who's not going to beat Roman? Dwayne. DJ. Yeah. The Rock. Yeah. You're not beating Roman. You're not. You're just not. Nope. Not going to happen. You could try. It's not going to happen. I say that because I feel like every post, premium live event, this is probably the second, because I did the Elimination Chamber, and I talked about Dwayne there. Now here I am, again, talking about Dwayne, again. But this time, Dwayne pops up. Dwayne actually made an appearance. Dwayne actually posted a video. Dwayne posted a video, and this video stirred up the WWE universe by just stating the following.
All right, big, big weekend going down. Right now, it is WrestleMania weekend in Los Angeles at the iconic SoFi Stadium. This message goes out to the WWE Universe. Well, first, the WWE Universe, the fans, the ones who are our anchor and the reason why we're all able and very lucky and privileged and honored to be able to do what we do, to perform for you in that famed squared circle. WWE Universe, have a blast at WrestleMania tonight, which is Saturday. The show's already started tomorrow, Sunday. And I know this morning, by the way, was a big, big morning for NXT. All the performers of NXT, including my daughter, Simone, Ava Rain, baby. She made her big debut. So proud of you, baby girl. Keep up the great work. And so congratulations to NXT and now WWE Universe. Have fun. Enjoy WrestleMania. Everybody is performing for you. And again, you're the reason why we get to do what we do. On to the WWE performers, the pro wrestlers, the women and the men who are my fellow brothers and sisters of the squared circle of this business that we love. It's so deeply rooted in our DNA and in our constitution. As I always tell you guys when we speak, go out there, create your WrestleMania moment, make history, and two things that I always underscore, move the crowd, and the rooster will agree, move the crowd and have some fucking fun when you go out there. Excuse my language, but have some fun. Move the crowd, have fun, connect with that crowd. Because even though what we do is really intense, if you have fun energetically, the crowd knows inherently that you're having fun too, and you just pull them in, and then it is just, you're creating, again, that incredible, iconic WrestleMania moment. So you guys go out there and kick ass. Speaking of kicking ass, I gotta tell you, I'm so excited for not only all the matches, but especially the main event with my cousin, Roman Reigns, the Universal Champion, and to my family, my Iyengar, my Ohana, the entire bloodline, Jay, Jimmy, Solo. We're so proud of you guys. Kick ass, electrify SoFi Stadium. Do what you do. It is in our blood. And who knows, maybe, just maybe, down the road, I'll see you in person. Maybe. I'll just leave it at that. And of course, his opponent, a man who I have a tremendous amount of love and respect for, Cody Rhodes. He's my boy. In a way, we grew up together. Our families were together when we were kids. The American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, and the Soul Man, Rocky Johnson, when they were partners, would hang at each other's house all the time when we were little kids. But Cody, your journey is so incredibly inspiring, not only to WWE Universe, not only to your fellow brothers and sisters of the locker room, but also to me as well. So very proud of you, brother. You guys go out there, tear the house down, fucking crush it. Sorry for my language, I'm getting excited, but I cannot wait to watch. And also, WWE, I'll say behind the scenes, behind the curtain, the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of WWE employees who are not in front of the camera or forward facing. I know how hard you guys have relentlessly worked for this weekend. So thank you in advance for your work, and congratulations in advance for what seems to be already an incredible weekend. So WWE in Stanford, WWE boots on the ground production wise in LA, down in Florida, all around the world. Again, team WWE behind the scenes, congratulations and thank you so much for all your incredible work. And I'll just end this with the most appropriate way the people's chant knows how. If you I gotta save it. I'll save it for down the road. Let's enjoy WrestleMania weekend, baby. SoFi Stadium, People's Champion. I'm out. Love you guys.
I'm looking directly into this camera right here because I want, if there's ever a moment in time that I want Dwayne to look at any video that I may ever do, if you ever come across any video ever, this is the video I want you to watch, because I have been on record as saying you Dwayne are by far my favorite of all time. We share the same birthday, May 2nd. We are Brahma Bull twins. But I have to tell you, as a fan, and a fan that is going to call people out on their bull, you have the wrestling fans going crazy. My videographer, who is not even a wrestling fan, heard this clip. And when he heard you say, maybe, maybe we'll see each other, he got hyped. At the end, where you did your infamous, if you smell, can't do it, can't do it, can't do it, can't do it. Gotta save it, gotta save it. He got hype. He got hype. And he's not even a wrestling fan. He got hyped. He got hyped. I seen the comments under this video. Everybody was going ballistic, thinking that the Monday after Raw, you were going to appear. This is the problem. One of the many problems I have. You get the people, since you are the people's champ. You get the people in your hands, right? You just get them there. Those big ass hands of yours. Since you clanging and banging. You get them in your hands. All with your powder on your hands and everything. After just working out, clanging and banging. At the island, at the island paradise, right? That's what you do. You have them in your hands. And you just like, yeah, look what I'm doing. What I'm doing? You see, I'm just playing with y'all. Just juggling with y'all. And then guess what? I'm going to pull a John Cena. You can't see me. And you just go away. You go away. And no one sees you. Me and my brother had this conversation. Because I basically told my brother, I said, you know what? I respect John Cena right now more than I do The Rock in the wrestling world. Because whenever the WWE needs John Cena, John Cena will arrive. He will show up. Now I understand, Dwayne, you have the XFL. You have $7 production. You have your Zoa company. You have all these other endeavors that you're doing, right? Movies, all this stuff. But the same way you posted that video about WrestleMania, and you know the business, you know what's going on, you are very knowledgeable of what is happening in the business right now. From the WWE main roster to the X to NXT. You know it. SmackDown 1000, which is your show. SmackDown is your show. You weren't there. You didn't send a video. Raw 30, in which there was a segment that was supposed to be the whole entire Roman Reigns' entire family was supposed to be in attendance to acknowledge him. And when they heard that, when the fans heard that, they instantly thought of you. Because they thought, oh my God, Dwayne's showing up. It's going to be in Barclays. He's showing up. He's going to be there. And what happened? You didn't show. You didn't send a video. Don Tony used to say the same thing. Why can't you just take your phone, do a video like you did this Saturday, and send it to the WWE to have to just so the fans can see The Rock, to see you, Dwayne. And then you want to tease the idea of facing off with Roman in the bloodline. I said this before, and I will continue to say this. I will delay Cody versus Roman at SummerSlam if I get Dwayne versus Roman at SummerSlam. I will delay that. I will delay Cody versus Roman. for you versus Roman. But if we do not get you at SummerSlam in Detroit in 2023, this year, I do not want to see in 2024 Dwayne, you, The Rock, Johnson appear at any point in the ring with our tribal chief, with the head of the table, with God Mode himself, with Roman Reigns. I do not, because I don't want to deal with it. I don't. So, if you happen to like this part of this video, make sure you hit that thumb. Make sure if you liked that, what was that, 10 minutes, give or take, 10, 15 minute soliloquy that I had to do with about you, Dwayne. If y'all like that and you want more and you haven't subscribed to this channel, make sure you subscribe to the channel. You're going to probably see more of my rants like this. And if you just, let's say you just be like, oh, you know, you subscribe, but then you're like, man, I'm not getting my notifications. You know, like my videographer, he says every morning, every time I post something, he gets the ding and he knows. So if you happen to want to get into that realm, you know what you need to do? You need to hit that bell. Just hit that bell and leave in the comments. Let me know what y'all think. Let me know what y'all think of WrestleMania, what y'all thought about the main events, what y'all thought about just the whole thing in general. Let me know. I am the franchise, one half of the World Club Wrestling Podcast. Is there anything else that we need to talk about? Is there? In the words of Cody Rhodes, so what do you guys want to talk about?